Encourage you, and if you have your Bible with you tonight, look with me to look with me in Genesis chapter 12. I think some of the things I'm going to say tonight will go fit very well with what Aldo and Jaleel had to say, and of course, obviously, our desire of blessing and encouragement to you all as we can be, and to every church we're in is to be a blessing and encouragement. And sometimes when people are a blessing to you, it's maybe a little uncomfortable. Okay. At the end of the day, anything we've said tonight, it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. Okay? And if it makes you uncomfortable, that's not our desire. We're not trying to harm you or in any way. But we do want to encourage you. Encourage you to think. Encourage you to challenge what you thought in light of the Scriptures. But then also grow closer to the Lord in your daily walk. And I don't know about you, but I need that challenge every single day. Even though the Lord saved me when I was 7 years old, I still need that challenge to be closer to Him, to trust in Him, and to see what He has for me every single day. And so He has a plan for each and every one of us. And I'd like to see tonight here and just share a concept with you, hopefully that will be an encouragement and help you live out every single day of your life to its fullest, with a specific focus on the mission. Now, Abraham here in this story was going about just living his life, just doing his thing on a daily basis. And the Lord spoke to him and absolutely transformed his life. Isn't that funny how God does that? We're just minding our own business, as it were. We're just going about doing what we always do. And then all of a sudden, something happens. Either we're in a church service, or we're visiting Kentucky, and we just show up at a revival meeting or something, and a certain preaching at a certain time, the Lord just speaks to us and just really changes and transforms our life. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen tonight, but I think if you have breath in you tonight, the Lord has a purpose for you on this earth, and He can still speak to you. He's not done with you yet. He has something for you. And so that's the case with Abraham, and we'll read tonight from verses 1 down to verse 7 and just give you a few thoughts, and hopefully it'll be a blessing and encouragement. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto him, Get thee out of my country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. To the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, and to the plain where Mori and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him." Now here we see in this story that God, here's Abraham going to business, living his life, and then God appeared to him and transformed not just his life, but the lives of countless others, as God would call him. God would give him this promise and this pact with him that he would bless all nations of the earth. And so there's some principles I'd like to share with you tonight. And I'd like to share this thought with you tonight about living for a legacy. About living for a legacy. Now, it's said, and this is hopefully be the most depressing part of the sermon, okay? It is said that within two generations, even the people that love us the most, family members who may worship the ground we walk on, generations, they will barely remember our names. They will barely remember our names. Now, we live in a society where we're focused specifically in our culture to focus on wealth and focus on houses and focus on all of these worldly things. And we know as believers in Christ that we shouldn't focus on those things. But the Lord has given us a unique opportunity. that no one else on this earth has. When we're talking about leaving a legacy, leaving something that lasts for the future. And what I'm not talking about tonight is I'm not talking about buildings. I'm not talking about great edifices that will proclaim God's glory. I'm talking about leaving a legacy that will last when you and I are long forgotten, something that will continue throughout all of eternity. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing, Lord, on His word tonight. Father, we ask You for the many, we thank You, first of all, Lord, for the many blessings You've given us. And in all sincerity, Lord, we thank You for the church, for its wonderful history, the way You've moved, the way You've worked, the way You've touched lives and saved souls throughout many years, Lord, of sweat and tears and prayer and even sacrifice, Lord, that's represented in the people that are sitting here tonight. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for all the work that You have done. And Lord, we just ask You that through the life of Abraham and through the Word of God, Lord, tonight, we might see that our life on this earth is significant. It has purpose. And there's something, Lord, that You desire to do with us. And we may be going through our routine. We may be living our life and not thinking about this purpose and not realizing, Lord, that it is Your desire for us to leave a legacy that will continue for Your honor and Your glory. Father, we ask You that Your name will be exalted and praised because of what's said and done here tonight. We ask You these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this means as far as our legacy, this statistic that within two generations, the people that love us the most will all but have forgotten our names. This means our relationship with Christ, our life, this earth have minimal impact. But I believe that Abraham's story teaches us that we can leave a legacy for God's glory that will live on for many generations, of course, and will also have eternal implications that will affect the lives and souls of people through all eternity. And the first thing we notice here is that we see God's call. Abraham was living his life, and God called him. Now, as believers tonight, we also have a call. In Matthew chapter 28, look with me there. Matthew chapter 28, we know, and I know many of you all are probably thinking of the verses as I mentioned the passage, and Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the Lord says there, He's saying to with His disciples present, He says, "In to me in heaven, go ye therefore, Father, and them to observe whatever I have commanded you, and lo, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The first thing I want to say to you tonight, that God's call is universal. It's universal. Now, I believe with all my heart that God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel. I believe with all my heart that from Brother Taru's testimony that God has called him to be an evangelist. I've heard Pastor Wade's testimony, and it's obvious that God has called him to be a pastor. And God has called these two men to be missionaries, to be pastors in the work in the ministry. But let me tell you something tonight. You don't have to wait and find out and wait for God to speak to you as if you've read and understood what Matthew chapter 20 and verses 18 through 20 are saying. The Lord has already called you. If He has saved you, He has called you. Are you with me? Okay? That's the first thing we need to see about this legacy. If the Lord has saved you, He has called you. Now, it may not be that you're called to be a missionary or you're called to be a pastor. When I was a pastor, I would tell people in my church all the time that God can use you in a greater way than He could ever use me. I still believe that's true. I still believe that God can use the average church member much more mightily than He could ever use a pastor. And I believe God uses pastors in great ways. And so God brought this call to Abraham. One fellow said, he was writing about this topic of the universal call and the call of God on people's lives. He said, every saved person, every lost person this side of hell. Let me read that again just so it sinks in. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. If we're going to be able to reach the entire world for Christ, then we have to accept this mission, this commission, this calling. We have to understand that it's not pastor's calling. It's not Ms. Sharon's calling. It's not Brother Aldo's calling. It's not Brother Jaleel's calling. It's not Brother Tarut's calling. It's not Brother Jerry's calling. And it's every single believer's calling that the voice of Christ is still coming true to us today as saying, go ye, preach the gospel to every creature. The calling is universal. God called Abraham to a journey, that would bring him far away from his earthly comforts. One of the greatest dangers that we have in our society, in our culture in America today, is we are extremely comfortable. And I love to be comfortable. That's part of the problem. I love comfort. I love a comfortable place to sleep and a comfortable place to live. I love comforts just like any normal person. It's not always comfortable living in a 33-foot travel trailer. Most of the time it's great. Most of the time it's okay. But as Samuel will tell you, that having a bathroom and not having all that competition with five other females, sometimes it's nice, right? But sometimes that's part of the problem, that we do have the nice buildings, and we do have so many luxuries, and we have so many comforts that we are lulled to sleep spiritually, and we're not in the point where we used to be in the storefront and down in downtown Boonesboro. And now we're here, and we've got a church that's paid for, and we're comfortable, and we're not always listening to God's voice when He's trying to call us. God called Abraham to journey away from his earthly comforts. I'm not trying to make an application with that. Just stating the fact, and allow the Lord to make the application in your life. God also called Abraham to an unknown future, to an unknown future. You know, when God calls us, He wants us to sign a blank check. He wants us to sign a blank check. Now, we like to have our whole lives all planned out. In America, in this country, we ask children when they're small, "What do you want to be when they grow up?" When you grow up, when you ask kids in Cuba that, Pastor, what do they say? They look at you weird. They don't know. They don't understand that concept, because you have to determine what the future careers are going to be for the. It's something, but we have our plans. We have our future plan. We have what we're going to do. But when we listen to God's call, as Abraham did, then we write and say, "Here am I. Send me wherever it is, whatever it is." And sometimes it's not necessarily being a missionary to a. And it's being a missionary right there in my job. Sometimes being a missionary in a foreign land, sometimes it's not just about knocking on doors when it's door knocking time. Sometimes it's when I'm in the getting a haircut, and the person who's cutting my hair, I don't know if they're a believer or not. Now, what would happen is if we made a decision about who was going to do our hair, to have an opportunity to witness to somebody, versus the person who gives us the hairstyle will be like. Are you listening tonight? Anyway, hopefully that'll be encouragement. God has a call on the life of every single one of His children. Every single one. Now, how many are parents here tonight? Okay? Now, for about 6 years, I worked in and out. I've been to jail many times in my life. I go to the jailhouse and do interviews with people and give that information to a judge, who would determine what type of bond or what type of bail they would set for individuals that were sitting in jail. Not once did I ever talk to any one person who thought that would be their goal in life. Not one person said, "When I grow up, I want to be in Gaston County Jail." There was not one parent I talked to ever through that whole process that said, "It's always been my desire for Johnny or Susie to one day be in jail." Not once. But through circumstances and different things in life, that's what happened. Many things have happened in our lives we don't plan for. We don't make a deliberate attempt to do things. But God has a plan for your life, just like you have a plan. You have a desire for the lives of people in your family. Okay, that's all right. We've all heard cell phones ring before. Okay, that's right. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. It happens. Well, it happens. All right. Anyway, I've had that happen to myself before, once when I was in the pulpit. It's hilarious. Yeah. And so I was preaching. It's interesting sometimes, but God's good. So first thing is God's call is a universal call. It's for every single one of us. Our Heavenly Father has a desire, and He's calling, as we as parents would to our children, say, hey Samuel, pay attention, buddy, okay? Hey, I've got something for you. Abraham, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's get motivated. Let's step out and leave some comforts for a legacy in the future. There's a future that's awaiting. And so the second thing we see, God's plan includes you. God's plan, not just His call, but His plan includes you. In other words, God, how many people are in the world today? Over 7 billion. Okay? It's hard to know for sure because that number keeps going up. Over 7 billion. Now, has everybody in Washington County been reached with the gospel? No. Has everybody in Hagerstown been reached with the gospel? Has everybody in Boonesboro been reached with the gospel? No. Okay? We have a big task ahead of us. Can you, as an individual, reach 7+ billion people? Absolutely impossible. But let me say something to you tonight. That God's plan is designed in such a way that uniquely prepared to reach, and this is not a plan, to reach special individuals. Okay? God has a plan for you to reach special individuals. There are people in your life, people that are maybe your neighbors, maybe friends of yours, maybe family members, that as nice and wonderful as your pastor is, would never give him the time of day. They would never listen to a clear presentation of the gospel, even from Pastor Aaron, who's a wonderful, nice guy. They would never even maybe give the time of day to any of us, but because of certain circumstances that God has uniquely prepared you for, the Lord has put you in their path and put you in their lives so that you can be able to reach them for His glory. There are people that will only you can reach and only you can influence. They're uniquely prepared for your life to be able to match their life. Here in the passage of Genesis chapter 12, the Lord tells Abraham, that He has a plan so that Abraham will be a blessing to all nations. Now, how does that work? Did Abraham know every nation? No, he only had a certain circle of people he influenced. He only had a small group of people that he ran across. He only had a small circle that his life touched, but he did all that he could to touch those lives and be a blessing to those lives because he had a tremendous responsibility. And I believe the same responsibility is for us today, that every single person we come in contact with, it doesn't mean we're always going to be able to preach a sermon to them. It doesn't mean that we're always going to be able to share the full gospel with them, but every single contact is a sermon in and of itself. Every single opportunity of people we come in contact with is an opportunity for our life to be a positive message of the gospel. God wants you to use, wants to use you to be a blessing to others. Here He says to Abraham specifically, He says in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Genesis, He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, we can read and understand that God is putting tremendous favor on Abraham. That God is putting tremendous blessing and tremendous, just a tremendous promise He's given to Abraham. But Abraham also has a tremendous responsibility. Because God would also hold Abraham accountable if he were not to be a blessing to other people. And you see through the life of Abraham that many times he shows great kindness and great blessings to other people, even sometimes people who do him wrong. Because at the very beginning, it has always been God's desire that the nations know of His greatness and His glory. From the very beginning, from the Genesis, It's always been God's plan that nations of the world can understand how great and how mighty and how wonderful the God that we serve and the God that we love, how wonderful He really is. Now let me ask you tonight, is He really that wonderful to you? Is He really that such a great God to you? Then why is it sometimes that in our religious routines, sometimes we're the saddest people that walk the face of the earth? I mean, it's really sad sometimes that we're not any happier than we are. God wants to use you to be. Thirdly tonight, God's glory in all nations is His goal. And it's also to be our goal. Let me reiterate something tonight. The word missionary is nowhere found in the Bible. Is that right? The word missions isn't either. Because it's not supposed to be a different category of the church. It's supposed to be the essence of everything we do. Okay? I want to make this practical application in just a little bit. In Matthew chapter 22, look with me there, please. Matthew chapter 22. It has always been God's mission or God's plan. For glory to all people on the earth. In the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to live His glory so others would see and ask. Are you with me tonight? God told them to live in such a way that their righteousness would be seen, that they would see a peculiar people that would be honest with their neighbors and would do right in business and be a blessing and encouragement and be a blessing neighbors, so much so that when the heathen, pagan people of this world see the Jew living, would have to say, okay, what's wrong with you? There's something weird about you. Why are you being so nice to me? Has anybody ever asked you that before? Ever reacted to that before? When they thought that you should be out for vengeance, and instead of that, you were out to be forgiving and loving. And many times they wonder if it was. But the Lord, Him, to live His glory, so Jesus says for us day to day. In Matthew chapter 22, if you have it there with me, look what it says in verse 36. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. The Bible says, Master, which is a man to Jesus, a Jewish man, in the Jewish culture was asking Jesus as a rabbi, what is the great commandment? Now you see how Jesus answers people's questions in the Bible, right? You know, sometimes people come and the religious crowd and the people who just want to try to catch Him and trip Him up, He's pretty blunt, pretty rough sometimes with those people. But you find the seeker, the one who's desiring to know, the one who has a heart at wanting to know what the truth is. You see, Jesus reacted completely different. And that's our problem sometimes. So full of facts when we need to have our heart yearning for His presence, yearning to understand what He wants of us, yearning to understand what His word has to do with my life on a daily basis. And here it says in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt Lord thy God with all mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt You know what Jesus was saying? The whole Old Testament can be summarized in these two principles. Love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of who we are. And it says it in different ways in different Gospels there. But basically, everything of every part of every ounce of who I am, I should desire to love Him. And then also, in that same way, I should love my neighbor as I love myself. Now, if He would have left off that last phrase, it would have been really easy. Okay? To love my neighbor, but we have to love him as ourselves, and that makes it a little more difficult, especially when you're rooming with Brother Jaleel, as Brother Aldo already knows. Okay, so, and I'll tell Aldo what I said later. Anyway, so the Lord wants us to, the greatest commandment is that we love Him, and that we love our neighbor, and so the great commandment cannot be separated from the Great Commission. The Great Commandments if you will, these two commandments, love the Lord and love our neighbor, cannot be separated from the Great Commission. It's the whole package. So let me break it down a little bit more practically, a little bit uncomfortably. Okay? If we love the Lord and we really love our neighbor, then we should want to see our neighbor accept Christ and become a follower of Jesus. Not just because of the eternal benefits, but because also that my neighbor who may have family problems, who may have addiction problems, who may have all kinds of life problems, will be able to know what peace and joy and our society as a whole will benefit, not just in eternity, but right here and right now through people's lives being transformed. Are you with me tonight? The Great Commission is not just some different category. Missions is not just something that we send a check in the mail to do. And I'll just say this tonight. As missionaries, we don't just need a check in the mail. We need churches that partner, that will pray with us, pray for us, that will support us in prayer, that will encourage us. And so it's not just about a check in the mail. It's not just about putting a check in the offering plate, if you'll forgive me for saying talking about money tonight. The Great Commission is about our lives. It's about making every single day count for His glory. It's about making every conversation count. It's about, and it doesn't mean that we have to preach. It doesn't mean that we have to, it means that we're living for a purpose. We're living with the future in mind. We're living with what's going to happen when we leave. And again, the commandments. What happens in your life and here at Victory Baptist Church affects what happens everywhere in the world. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. That's absolutely fine. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, we'll leave and go to New York, and it'll be absolutely fine. But I believe this church is a precious group of people. God loved, God has saved, and God has called. Not just to have an impact here in Boonesboro, but to have an impact through the world. Now, many hands went up earlier and said, we have children, right? Many a church that's just like this will possibly close this year. Because people think about petty little things that just don't matter. They don't think about the long game. They don't think about the legacy. At the end of the day, you know, whether there's a marker board on the board or not, I know you guys talk about stuff like that, it don't matter. You know, stuff don't matter. The color of the carpet, many places in the world would love to have carpet. The types of pews, I've seen churches fight whether they should have chairs or pews. It's funny, the early church for 300 years didn't even have buildings. And they were happy and reached their neighbors and reached their community and all that. It's funny how things that we get so caught up in will, as Brother Jaleel preached on Sunday, will be consumed by fire. And in the meantime, we'll leave some nice buildings maybe for the Jehovah's Witnesses to use after the rapture. Okay? So the Great Commission can be separated from the Great Commandments. We see that evangelism through evangelism, more people are saved, then there will be more people to be able to worship the Lord in heaven. Discipleship works and allows new people, and they reproduce. Not just believers. Now, God didn't just call us to be saved so we can come to church and listen to wonderful, eloquent, edifying messages from Pastor Wade, so we can fill our head up and we know all kinds of things. That's not what we're here for. We're here because, and it's good to come to church so we get that preparation. But that's not just for you to keep. That's for you to share. And for your life to touch other people's lives. And so discipleship is that life-on-life transformation that brings to others. God wants us to leave something that will last on earth after we leave. What are you leaving for the future? The future of mission depends on the future of churches like Victory Baptist Church. Your bring from your life. We're not talking about age tonight. I may not live to see tomorrow. Some of you all may outlive me by a whole lot. Sometimes the dumb things I do, then that may be very true. But what legacy, what impacts, what lives have been touched by yours? In the New Testament, we find the story of Tabitha. Remember the story? She had so invested her life in loving on others, doing acts of kindness to the point that when she died, the whole church stopped. And they came to Peter and said, you have to do something. We cannot live without her. That's the only example I know of in the New Testament that happens. Well, this person was so full of love and so full of kindness and so full of doing for others. Can you imagine the testimony? That community could not live without her. And so the Lord allowed Peter to raise her from the dead so that she could continue to serve in the church. The future of missions depends on us. Study after study, this is a quote, study after study shows that most Christians have never shared their faith. Most studies indicate that somewhere near 90% of evangelicals, that's anybody that calls themselves Christians that are not Catholics, right? 90% of evangelicals have never shared their faith with anyone outside their family. 90%. Maybe that's you here tonight. I don't know your life. I don't know who you are. I don't know. And there's no judgment. My desire is to encourage you tonight just to simply share what God has done with you with others. And it doesn't have to be an organized time. The Lord gives us, if we're honest, the Lord gives us opportunities. We'll be in a grocery store and for whatever reason, some weird person starts talking away. Maybe had you stand at that spot in that store, that particular, nothing happens by accident with God. Instead of us being annoyed and trying to get away from them, maybe we could have an opportunity that I invite them for coffee or something, some other opportunity to share the gospel with them later on. And instead of talking to a stranger, we could talk to a friend about their eternal destiny. The question is no longer if we are called, only where and how. The call to follow him is the call to be sent and to the song every close of the missions conference this week, right? Around the corner, around the world. A soul needs Jesus, a soul who's never heard. Let's take the good news. Let's take God's living word around. Tonight, we can't reach around the world if we can't reach around the corner. The light that shines brightest is the light that we shine at home. It has to begin here. Now, you guys are doing tremendous things as far as your giving and missions. That's commendable. That's wonderful. But at some point, that's going to stop if the people that are sitting here do not reach other people that will sit with them here. Are you listening tonight? Basically, the simple truth of the message, that your life counts. God has called you. He has a plan for you. He has people for you to come in contact with. He has a legacy for you to leave in this world for his glory, for his honor. As one C. Studd said it in his poem, Only One Life. I'll read it and then I'll be done. He said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed.
done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure in one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you heard the Lord's call on your life as a believer? Have you seen where He has placed you in His plan? Are you leaving your legacy, living as though you're leaving a legacy in this world, so that your very life will leave something here that brings honor and glory, and when people see you, when they know you, they want to be able to hear the message what is different about your life? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll turn the end of the service over to the pastor, and I'll be done. Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful people, and we ask you, Lord, that your word will be an encouragement to our hearts. Help us, Father. Help me. I know that as I stand and say these things, Lord, it's not maybe anyone in the congregation that needs it as much as I do. So, Father, I ask that you work on my heart continually, not just in this moment, in this day, but, Lord, tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, continually, Lord, that I'll be able to use my life in a way that will last for your honor and your glory. I ask you these things now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.